Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan. It's a new year. This is a spiritual warfare podcast, and I'm Steve Hemphill. Visit our website at active-faith.org. Today, let's talk about let's eat fresh manna because old manna stinks. Exodus 16, NLT. This is when they're leaving Egypt. Then the whole community, verse 1, of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. So they've already been traveling a month in the desert. There, too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. Verse 3, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us to death. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there'll be twice as much as usual. Verse 16, these are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. Verse 19, then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. Verse 20, but some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. So 2 to 3 million people left Egypt. Can you imagine how much food that many people would need just each day just to survive? I had an engineer friend who made the calculations once on that, and it was equivalent to 100 train cars full of food every single day. With that many people traveling with all of their possessions, it's somewhat understandable that they became worried about feeding their families as they traveled deeper and deeper into an inhospitable desert. Wouldn't you worry about food for your family? I think I would. But God did provide. He sent the bread of angels. Psalm 78:25 NIV says, human beings ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. So manna was called the bread of angels. In verse 3 of Exodus 16, the people specifically complained that back in Egypt, they had all the bread they wanted. You see, God provided them better bread every day for 40 years. All they had to do was walk out of their tent each morning and pick it up. But this provision from God also had a test to it to see if they would obey him. They were not to gather more than enough for their immediate family each day, and no more than that. They were required to have faith that there would be more bread from heaven the next day and every day for the next 40 years. Now, 360-day calendar on a lunar year for them was approximately 14,400 days. So they had to have faith for each coming day. Notice if they gathered more than enough for one day, in verse 19 and 20, or if they didn't throw it out, the leftovers by the end of the day, then there'd be maggots in it the next morning, and it would stink up the tent. See, God wanted daily dependence on him and expectation of his ongoing provision for them. I think God wants the same thing for us today spiritually. Consider this for a moment. Our generation has access to lots of information, lots of commentaries, lots of sermons, lots of religious books and videos and movies. So it's easy for us to become dependent on these other humans who made these things, who put together these ideas and thoughts, instead of being dependent daily on God for new manna and new revelations from him. Sometimes the available books and movies and teachings are stale and moldy and stink up our tents because we rely on the intensive study of the scriptures by previous generations instead of our own intensive study. This came to my attention recently when I got a text from a man in Texas. He said, "Hey, Steve, I know it's been a couple of months ago. I was supposed to contact you. I wanted to let you know my walk with God has digressed back to square one. I feel kind of just here and out of place, like I don't feel real. I know that sounds crazy. I don't know how to get back on track with God. Can you please help me out? I'm desperate to get back on track with Jesus. I've contacted so many people and watched so many videos. Nothing is working. Every time I do get on track with Jesus and am on fire for Him, everything in my life gets good for a bit. Then it goes bad again, especially with nightmares. I also met a great guy who's a man of God who doesn't give up on me, but my relationship with God isn't the best. I feel like hearing others talk about Jesus. I like hearing others talk about Jesus because I feel God talking to them. He says, I feel God has big plans for me, and many have told me that. But how can it be true when I can't even pick up my Bible because of what I'm battling from my past? I also cannot explain the emptiness I've been feeling without Jesus. I've cried to Him so many times, but I just can't seem to get going. I feel just like a shell. I really hope you can give me advice on something. I usually pray, Lord, help me know exactly what to say to get to the root of the problem. Immediately, I texted him back and said, how much time are you spending each day in the Word of God? And here was his response. Honestly, none. I find it hard to open my Bible. I don't understand it like I used to. And I catch myself talking to God randomly, but stop because of how my relationship with God isn't good. I honestly don't spend time in the Word like I used to. I used to be reading the Bible for hours, and I couldn't get enough of it. And I put, there's your problem. You've got to get in the Word. It's the key to coming out of this. The Word is the key. You're spending time in the Word and obediently following Him is the key. And then he responded, I don't know how to get in the Word like I used to. He used to, but he doesn't know how now? Did you forget? And when I do read the Bible, I feel nothing at all, even when I pray to Him. And I put, you don't have to feel. You have to obey. Quit resisting. You asked me for advice, and this is my advice. You can take it or not, but it's the truth. Yes, sir, he said, I understand. I'm going to try that. Notice how he said he didn't know how to get into the Word like he used to. So he used to. Therefore, he does know how. He just isn't doing it. Notice, secondly, he says he wasn't feeling it. You don't have to feel to be obedient. You have to act obediently. I learned in sales long ago that you don't feel yourself into a better way of acting. You act yourself into a better way of feeling. I learned in door-to-door sales during my college years to get up in the morning when I was exhausted and working long hours far from home to yell out, I feel healthy. I feel happy. I feel terrific. And then I actually would, and I'd have a good day. Give it a try. Get in the Word. It is the key, and that's why this active faith ministry is all about spiritual warfare. So in light of today's thoughts, let me suggest part of your personal battle plan might be to ask God to give you the discipline you need to spend time daily in the Word and the desire you need to dig deeper into Scripture. I've learned you can see the exact same passage in the Bible at age 60 and see things in it you won't see at age 30. Does that make sense? Every year you grow older and add life experiences that cause you to see new revelations from Scripture. It's amazing. Try rereading passage you already knew and see if I'm not right. I challenge you to do that. You might pray like this. Lord, give me a fresh desire to know your word and teachings and put them into practice in my daily life, and give me new revelations as I go on this daily journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And let me remind you to keep praying, because prayer works. God loves you and I love you. Have a great day.